So today, first of all, today is a fast. Fast day, right? As you see, it's the program of the Tammuz. Today is a fast day. The fast of Shiva Asar the Tammuz. He was asking if you're supposed to put our Rabbeinu Tam tefillin by Shiva. I don't know. I never heard of that. You think I should have asked also? So since you're putting on tefillin, we'll read something about tefillin. It says, through tefillin, a person brings on themselves the remembrance that they remember the next world, which means they widen their mind to understand the signs Hashem sends to come closer to Him. Now, I hear a little bit about Tainus. Today's a fast. So now, we'll hear a little bit of the fast. Through fasting, we fix up the speech. And once we fast, now, we could speak in front of Hashem Yisparach. And daven with kavana. It helps us daven with more and more kavana. We could daven with concentration. Right? And once we fix our speech, now our speech is in check, now we could bring people who are far from Hashem, we could bring them close to Hashem. So now when I speak to them, my words are on a much higher level. So my words will make an impression on them. They can help more people do tshuva. And through this, a person themselves' emuna gets full. When you help someone else get emuna, this completes your emuna. And that's how a person can even get the emuna shlema. And then a person could clarify the food that they eat, and you can make huge things with the food that they eat. So through fasting, this fixes up the speech. It's definitely a good day today to try to daven. Especially today. Also a fast. When we fast, we resurrect the dead. How do we do that? When we fast, we resurrect the dead.
We resurrect
the dead.
Oh, resurrect the dead.
How do we resurrect the dead? Shmuel, you're going to resurrect the dead today? By us fasting, we do Tchiyas HaMeistim. How do we do that? Because we had days that we had in our lifetime that were dark and that weren't full of Torah and Mitzvahs. And those days, they're lifeless days. They have no Torah and Mitzvahs. They're dead. So now what happens? When we fast, we give back life to those days. And the more we fast, the more we give them life. How does that give them life? Because right now I'm fasting, I'm doing tshuva. Right? Today I'm doing good things. And how am I living today if I didn't eat? How could I live? First has to eat. How am I still alive? Because of the food I ate yesterday. Right? I fast a little more. I need to rely on the nutrients I ate 2 days ago. Right? And I fast even more. The more I fast, the more we have to go backwards to use the nutrients that I got from earlier. Right? So in essence, I'm fixing up those earlier days. I'm taking the power that I ate on those days. Let's say I ate food and I had power. And I didn't serve Hashem so much. And now I'm serving Hashem. So I'm giving life to those days backwards that I didn't give the life to.
Retroactive.
Retroactive. But really, it's not so much, it's in a way it's retroactive, to chal. Retroactively. But also, right now I'm doing it. Because right now I'm using that strength that I gained then. So that's how I fix up today. I can fix up days I messed up last week. So right now when I'm fasting, and my body has to rely on nutrients that I ate a week ago, certain nutrients, so I'm fixing, now I'm serving Hashem, so I'm fixing up that day. Obviously it's on a deeper spiritual level also, not only physical, because we don't go back that many days. I'm not going to go back to use the nutrients from a few years ago right now. But that's on a physical level. We understand that on a spiritual level also, it fixes up. Good? Now, if we read for the Mishnah Berurah, like on a fast that we like to read them in the Mishnah Berurah, just the introduction he brings to the Rambam about a fast. Good, Chana? And I'll deal with this spelling. So it says like this. Every person needs to fast on Tisha B'Av, on the 17th of Tammuz, the 3rd of Tishrei, Asara B'Teves. Because of the bad things that happen on those days. The Mishnah Berurah says, Chatz Chaim says, this is from the Nevi'im. It's a pasuk that says she fasted in the 4th month, in the 5th month, the 7th month, and the 10th month. Right? We're counting the months from Nisan. Right? So you start from Nisan, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. Tammuz is the 4th month, right? You start the count from the month of Nisan. So this is the 17th of Tammuz. Now all these days, why do we fast? Because of the Taurus that happened on them. And what's the why we fast? It's in order to wake up the hearts to look into the ways of tshuva. And this should be a remembrance for us. And realize that our bad deeds and the bad deeds of our fathers, this is what caused us to have these troubles. Why do we have these troubles? Because our forefathers' sins and our sins. That's what caused us to have this trouble. But when we remember this, when we delve into this, this helps us do tshuva. Like it says this, that you should say vidui, you should, on the averis of your fathers, of your sins and your forefathers' sins. And for every person needs to put their heart on these days and look into their actions and try to do tshuva. A fast day is a day for tshuva. Because the main thing is not to fast. Right? The main thing today is not to fast. You think, what's today? It's a fast day? It's a tshuva day. Shmuel, what's today? It's a fast day? It's a tshuva day. The main thing is not to fast. The main thing is the tshuva, the repentance. Like it says by the city of Nineveh, right? Like the story of Yonah and the city of Nineveh. They were fasting for 3 days, 3 nights. Doesn't the Hashem look at their fast? What does the Hashem look at? Why did Hashem decide to save them? Not just because they were fasting. They didn't eat 3 days, 3 days. It's very nice. You starve these up. It does. It says that Hashem is ma'aseim. Hashem saw their actions. Chazal say Hashem didn't see their sackcloth and their fast. Rather, their actions. The main thing Hashem saw that He took away the evil decree to destroy them was their actions. They tried to change their ways. So why do we fast? The whole point of fasting. Why do we fast?
Put ourselves in the right mind frame. We're afflicting our bodies.
We're putting ourselves in the mind frame for tshuva. Because the important point of fasting, Shmuel, why do we fast? We fast because by us, when we fast, we become humble. We become weak. We feel weak. And we're humble when we eat. We have gaiva. Eating food brings us to gaiva. We eat. We feel good. When we don't eat, what happens to Ezra? We feel weak. We feel, wow, I'm really powerless. Hashem doesn't give me power. I'm nothing. So the point of the fast is to humble ourselves and to get in the mode of tshuva. Right? To get in the mode of tshuva. To prepare ourselves for tshuva. But the main point of the fast is to do tshuva. It's a tshuva day. We'll call it a fast day. It's really a tshuva day. Right? So those people, they when they're fasting, they go on vacation, they go on walks, they waste their time. So they did the what was secondary, which is nice. But they left the main thing. The main thing is the tshuva. So it's still, a person can't say, oh, I'll just do tshuva. Because it's a mitzvah and safe in the view, so we have to fast. Being declared, we have to fast in order to get us in the mode of doing tshuva. So once they say we have to fast, we need to fast. We can't just say, I'll do 6 hours, but just I'll do tshuva. We have to also fast. The point of the fast was, is in order to humble us, in order to bring us to get into tshuva. That's why we end at 12 o'clock today, so we can go do, hopefully we can have a little, some more strength to do some, a little bit of tshuva. Then if we need to go to sleep, or a week, go to sleep. But at least to get in the mode of doing some tshuva. It's not an off day, Shmuel. Go to the air conditioner, go to the shade. If you find shade in Sahedra, they cut down half the trees. We try to find some shade. Sahedra forest, they chop down half the trees. Yeah. Half the trees got chopped down. I think they want to make more room for people. There wasn't enough room. They want to make more space for people. I'm not sure, but. No, Shmuel, they chopped down half our forest. Chopped down half my house. You were there, you saw? Where are they chopping down? Must go on and make more room.
Some of the trees have been there for hundreds of years.
Yeah, for years. And they wanted, they decided to chop. They wanted to make more room for more people to do spite of this. My only reason. So thank you, Hashem. No? Making more room. There's not so much room. There's a lot of people need to. I don't know. Feel missing. I'm going to half the trees. But Baruch
Hashem. On one side, the other side, no. They didn't touch yet.
They didn't touch the other side. They have to do that thing. Chopping at every other tree they chopped down. Baruch Hashem, in this room. I guess the trees finished their tikkun. It's also from Hashem. What do we know? Fine. So now, what were the bad things that happened on this bench of Aspatamas? One of them is that the lukos were broken. When Moshe came down from the mountain, the luchos were broken. And the Talmud was batal. Right? First of all, the luchos got broken. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down the first time, he still didn't do the eagle, and he broke the luchos. Exactly, is that true? The first thing that happened is he broke the luchos. And that's it, the Talmud was batal. Also, they stopped bringing, on the first Beis HaMikdash, they stopped bringing the carbon Talmud. The third thing that happened was, the city, the walls of the city got broken down. The city of Yerushalayim got broken down. Also, Apostamos HaRasha burned the Torah. And the fifth thing was they put a tzelem of a desert in it. The most famous one we know about was the walls were broken down on this day. The walls of Yerushalayim broken down. And 3 weeks later, they finally got in. It was still a fierce fight until they got and actually burned the Beis HaMikdash. It's on Tisha B'Av now. They actually burned the Beis HaMikdash. But really, it's hard for us to feel this. It's hard for us to feel. It's a little difficult for us to feel the tzar, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And that the walls were. We never saw the Beis HaMikdash. You ever saw the Beis HaMikdash? Your grandfather saw it? Your great grandfather saw it? You ever saw your great grandfather? You never saw your great grandfather? He never saw it. So, how are we supposed to feel anything on the Beis HaMikdash? How are we supposed to feel it? Shmuel, how do we feel it? How are we supposed to feel the destruction? So first of all, we feel our own pain. Our own pain could also be, our own pain should also remember, because it says that all the pain we have is still, every time we have pain, it's still a punishment for the eagle, which is the aspect of the same idea that the luchos got broken. So any pain we have, we could realize it's connected to these days. Okay, now try to do tshuva. We have pain. Try to do tshuva. Say Hashem. Obviously, you want more from me. You want something from me. But maybe you have better plans for me. Hashem has bigger and better plans for us. But also, maybe we could realize that our barriers were broken down. And even over the past few years, our barriers are broken down. Because Rav Nachman speaks about there are barriers. Each person has the three parts of the brain, right? And these are supposed to be barriers to keep out the Yetzirah. They're supposed to be these shields, these walls that don't let the Yetzirah come in. So Chachma Bina Das, our brain power, our Chachma, our Seicha, that Hashem is important, the Taivas aren't important. But what happens when our barriers are broken down, then the Yetzirah comes in. We have to try to shred our barriers and come close to Hashem and focus on Torah and Tefillah and not let the Yetzirah creep in. So when we cry about that today, the walls were broken, the walls of our Beis HaMikdash are broken, right? The walls of our personal place, sanctuary for Shekhinah, were broken down. Especially over the past few years, all the technology, everything, the walls are broken down even more. Even a place that used to have Kedusha Arka, used to be at least a house, used to be like a safe haven for Kedusha. You know, people's homes, they don't know what, it's not a safe haven, they have internet, they have all the garbage in their house anymore. All the barriers are broken. They have a shul, at least maybe this Kedusha. Now people bring in all these phones and different things. There's no barriers anymore. All the barriers, just in the past few years, all our barriers and Kedusha were all broken down. The physical barriers, the spiritual barriers, our mind. So we have what to cry about. One thing by which I cry about, I don't know if any barriers, I don't know what means the walls of this Kedusha are broken down. They look like they're there. Go to Yerushalayim. I see walls around the old city. What does it mean to me? To us, it means a lot. There were barriers in our days that we saw with our own eyes, there are barriers that were broken. There are very big barriers in Kedusha, Tznius. And these are the barriers we have to cry about. Hashem, these barriers, we should rebuild these barriers of Kedusha. That's what the Mikdash was. There's a wall of Yerushalayim had certain halachas. Now you're in the wall, you might say, Shemi. There were guidelines and barriers for Kedusha. If you're Tumah, you can't come in here if you have certain levels of Tumah. All those barriers are broken down. Everybody does what they want. Everyone comes what they want. They do whatever they want. So on this day we do tshuva, we could cry to Hashem about our barriers that were broken down. Of course, in His barriers also, but also our barriers, our walls of Kedusha, our sanctuaries were all broken down in our physical, in our mind, in the world around us. We can ask Hashem, help us rebuild them. We could cry not on from years, from giving up, but cry out of hope, cry from yearning for Hashem. Hashem, help us come back to You, help us come back to You, help us, help we should have those barriers, help us have those walls you shall line. Right, like the Yira, inside the Yira Shalim, Renachma says, complete fear is the same as Yerushalayim. Helps we should fear You. Ask Hashem, help us fear You. Help us really connect with You. Help us feel You. help us. Ask Hashem. Well, only Hashem could rebuild these batteries. Rav Nachman says, if you could believe you could break, you have to believe you could build. Okay? If you could believe you could mess up, you could rebuild. So the world, no matter how messed up it is today, could rebuild. Hashem could rebuild us. Even in the Jewish people, Hashem could rebuild us. Today we have to down Hashem to rebuild the barriers. Rebuild us. Help us stay strong with Kedusha. We shouldn't fall. We should stay strong. We should have clear barriers. We should know where it needs to go over life. That's Hashem. We should have this to see Shiach very soon. Oh, Hashem. Barriers. So let's see the Gemara on the bottom. I'm holding the Gemara. I'm a rabbi. The bottom line of Chesed Mar Beis. I'm around 8 feet about it. Omar Rav, it be the bottom line. Shotat tzipor v'erev yamta. If one slaughtered a bird from erev yamta, eid mechasen oizav yamta. You're not allowed to cover its blood on yamta. Then why not? So you slaughter the bird on erev yamta, right? It's a regular bird. What's the halacha, Rabbi Seif? I slaughtered the bird on yamta. What's the halacha? You could cover it. Rav Yaakov, if you slaughtered the bird on yamta, you could cover it. However, what's the problem here? Here, you should have covered it yesterday. We know the rule is, any halacha you could have done yesterday, you're not allowed to do today. So we don't let you start touching dirt and start dealing with mukta today if you should have done it yesterday. Let's see the bottom Rashi. Ein mechasin oisav yamta. The haylo mechasin smiba idea. You should have covered it while it was still day. Aye, but now... But you maybe by you not letting me do kisi adam, you're not letting me enjoy yom tov. He says, no, it's not true. Your bird is 100% permitted to eat. Did you? You missed your mitzvah of kisi adam. That's Rashi. We should emnuyei mishum simchas yom tov lecha. There's no issue that you're holding yourself back from simcha of yom tov. The mishum d'loy mechasi adam, because the fact that you did not, just because you did not cover the blood, when mesar tibor ba'achila, your bird does not become usher from eating. It means like this. Even if we don't allow you to cover Hanan, am I allowed to eat the bird?
You didn't cover it.
Even if I didn't cover its blood, you don't let me cover the blood.
Yes.
I can eat the bird. So there's no issue with me. Right. So you can't tell me by not letting you do Kisya Adam, you're not going to enjoy Yom Tov. You'll enjoy Yom Tov. You'll eat the... So it wasn't going to happen. However, you could tell me, fine. So therefore, since you should have done this yesterday, therefore you can't do it today. Like, that's the rule always. Let's see the top of Tesla. Adash, we're holding the top of 9A with Simcha. Hashem is with us. Right? We shall Gilgal is the Me'erev. Oh, fine. Gilgal is the Me'erev Yom Tov. One rolled out a dome on Erev Yom Tov. Right? Then we say you can be makrish chala, the chalasa of the yamta. You're yes allowed to separate the chala on yamta. Let's see the Rashi. Gogo isa, me'er of yamta, makrish me'mena chalasa of yamta. The apal gav the tzan l'kamon. And even though it was taught in the Mishnah later on, elu hei mishum shvos, right? These are the cases of the Eben Shvos. In magbiya chuvus of maishas of yamta, right? You can't be magbiya chuvus of maishas of yamta. Bahanami, this also. Kachuas Daga Dami. This is similar to Chuas Daga. Shahaya Yachala Hafrisha Me'erev Yamta. That we were able to separate from Erev Yamta. Afilu Hachi Mafish. So what are we saying here? Even though we said these are the cases that are Shvos, it should be like this. It's other on a Drabana level to separate Chuas. Why can't you separate Chuas of Ice on Shabbos and Yamta? What will Lacha do? But is it really a fine hammer blow? It's just, it looks like. I mean, the food is ready. I didn't really make the food today. So, it's not really a deraisa. Right? You're right. It's tikkun. It's finishing the product. But it's not really on a deraisa level. Correct? Meaning, did I actually finish making the food? The food is prepared. It's the Rabbani, right? It's Micah Pai. It's like the final hammer blow. But just explains on a Rabbani level. On the right, well, I'm not really finishing something, right? It's since I took off spiritually, now it makes it forbidden to eat, it looks like the final hammer blow. Correct? It's not really finishing it, right? It's a spiritual thing. My food is cooked. I didn't finish the food, right? Correct? So it's a Rabbana. So why can I take off Trumas and Maisers on Shabbos and Yom Tov? It's a Rabbana. The Rabbana don't let me, because it looks like you're fixing. Not really fixing anything, correct? That's where Rashi starts off. The Mishnah later on, right? Rashi, the Avagah, that's not come on. The second line of Rashi says, Eluhein Mishum Shvos. These are the cases that are a Shvos. What is a Shvos? A Shvos is a Durabana. Right, Rashi, you got the top line of Rashi? These are the cases that are Shvos on a Durabana. It says, In Magbihin, Trumas Umaisus. You can't lift and you can't separate Truma and Maisus. Biyamta, on Yamta. Right? So you're not allowed to separate your tie your foods on Yom Tov, because it looks like tikkun. Yes, only the Rabbanan. That's how it starts. It says Elohim Mishum Shvus. These, what does it mean Mishum Shvus? Shvus is another way of saying it's a rabbinic. Correct? Like we explained, you're not really fixing something. It's, the Rabbanan say it looks like you're fixing. The Hanami, and this also, so it's Rashi explained, taking off challah also is the same issue. It looks like you're fixing the challah, right? Vahanami, this also, Ketumas Daka and Dami. It's similar to the case of Tumas Daka. Shahayu Yachal Lahafrisham Erev Yamtuf. But you were able to separate from Erev Yamtuf. Afilu Hati Mahfrish. Still, you're allowed to take off, separate challah, even on Shabbos and Yamtuf, you're allowed to separate challah. Why? Shalai Gozru Al Tumas Isa. Because they did not make a zero on Tumah of dough, separating dough. Why not? Aye, but it looks like you're fixing. They weren't so strict. Why? Shreimotor legal go of Yom Tov. Because it's permitted to bake dough on Yom Tov on a deraisa level, right? For lefaisa and to bake it. Because they lechol pas chamin or to eat hot bread. So the rabbanon aren't going to come down and make exeri, you're not allowed to take off challah, right? You know what that would mean? That means you can't eat freshly baked bread on Yom Tov.
Right. You can't take challah on the Yom Tov, therefore you can't finish your bread on Yom Tov, therefore you can't eat.
So there's no point. So if the Torah let you bake bread, the Rabbanan aren't going to be smarter than that and say, you know what, we're not going to let you take off challah and you can't eat it. Doesn't make sense, correct? So either usually they don't want you to take off Trumas and Maisus on the Rabbanan, because it looks like you're fixing, right? But for bread, which we want you to bake today, specifically to enjoy Yom Tov, we're not going to make any zero that you can't take off challah, right? So even though it's fixing it and it looks like you're doing tikkun, it's Rabbanan, right? It will be the rice that they can't let you, correct? This whole issue is separating Trumas and Maisus on the Rabbanan. So far, so this Rashi is a little bit clearer. What do you say, Reb Ezra?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. So that's what our Gemara wants to say. Okay. Comes in the second line. Let's see the Gemara. Avu the Shmuel says, "Afilu gilgal isa me'erav yamta." Because even if you roll the dough from erav yamta, then also. In Makrish from the Chalas. You were still not allowed to separate from a Chal. Good?
Mm-hmm.
On Yom Tov. You're not allowed to separate from a Chal on Yom Tov.
So he's going against the Tanakhama.
Correct. He's saying, if you rolled it on Erev Yom Tov, you should have done it yesterday. You're right, if you made a bread today, we'll give you the leniency to enjoy your bread today, we'll let you take off. Right? If you bake the bread today, of course we'll let you. But if you could have done it yesterday, it looks like tikkun. We don't like you taking off Trumas and Maisus on Shabbos and Yom Tov, correct? So if you should have done it yesterday, so that's your fault. You should have done it yesterday, right? You should have done it yesterday, correct? That's what he wants to say. He says, "Afilu Yisum Erev Yom." He says, "Ain't you not allowed to separate the challah on Yom Tov?" Let's see Rashi, the third wide line. "Ain't Mafresh Haymena." Because they weren't matzah to separate challah only in dough that was rolled on Yom Tov. But this, we should have separated from Erev Yom Tov. Just like Truma on grain and fruit, we would have wanted to separate from Erev Yom Tov. So Truma on challah also, if you could have separated it yesterday, we don't let you separate it today. Right? So first you hold, Tanakam holds, just like we let you separate today on a bread that you bake today, right, Ezra?
Yeah.
So too, even if you baked it yesterday, we let you take off chal, right? Even if you rolled that dough yesterday. The Avi Lishua said, no. We only were lenient. Well, we need to be lenient. If you bake the bread today, we're lenient today. If you wrote, if you made the dough yesterday, and you could have done it yesterday, it's the same scenario as always. We don't like you taking off Shuvos and Maaseros on Shabbat, on Yom Tov. Therefore, in this case, also, we don't want to take it off. The only time we're lenient is if you baked it today. So this is the only way to do it, is take off today. So fine, so then we let you take off today. But in the case where you rolled up the dough yesterday, we don't give you a hetzer. If the regular Xero, we don't let you take off Truma on Yom Tov. What do you say?
Well, the question whether the dough is considered Truma or not.
No, of course, it's called Chala, Chala Truma. It's called Truma. We're calling it Truma.
Calling it Truma.
When you make the bracha, you say, Lahafresh mena Chala Truma. Call it Truma.
There's no question anymore. It's always considered Truma.
What, in which, in a regular scenario? In a regular case, it's considered Truma.
Completely different, opposite of those opinions.
Regarding, you took off yesterday. Right.
But they both agree that you took off, you picked it on the Yom Tov, you're allowed to take it on the Yom Tov.
Right.
They just both disagree on air, rolling it out the air Yom Tov and fixing it on the Yom Tov.
First, so the Tanakamu says, if you should have, if you made the dough, if you roll the dough on Erev Yom Tov, you can take off challah on Yom Tov. And Avuah de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, says no. Even if you rolled it out on Erev Yom Tov, you cannot take off on Yom Tov. Holy Gemara says, Lema pliga de Shmuel ad Avuah de Shmuel. It seems to us, let us say, Shmuel is arguing on the father of Shmuel, arguing his father. Why? Where do we see the argument? The Amr Shmuel. Shmuel says, Chalas Truma for Chuslaris, Chalas that you took off on Chuslaris, Oichel Vahada. Let's say you forgot to take off. And now it's ready, you're doing your Yom Tov Suda, you realize Yom Tov Suda and Yom Tov night. I didn't take off Chalas. What are we doing now? You forgot to take off Chalas. What does he say? He says, Oichel Vahada. You could keep on eating it. Ha'avakach ma'afresh. And afterwards you can separate. Which means, you don't have to separate first. Just keep eating the challah. And then the last piece automatically will be, that will be truma. That will be your challah. Right? Now this way, you weren't over another rabbanon of separating, so I didn't really separate it. Right? Just come clear to me now, from the beginning, this is the piece I meant to separate. Right, Rebbe Ezra? Can you do that? Rico? Eat the whole challah until the end. Keep eating and go. Keep on going. Afterward, when you get to the end of the loaf, that's where you'll separate.
Is he has in mind that this last piece on the table is chala? Or
right.
Is he just leaving over a piece?
Of course you have in mind as chala, but you didn't officially separate it as, you know, like sit there separating it as chala.
He's not actually separating, but he's leaving over a piece.
Right, which means, right, so
you're calling it as if it's separated.
Right, correct.
Also, do we know, regarding the Shmuel thought, the son of Shmuel, as far as we know that he's talking about how it was made on the other cup or before the other cup? Or does it matter?
Doesn't matter in his case, whatever it is.
Either you rolled it out before the other cup, or you baked, or you rolled it out on the other cup and baked it. You didn't take deal in any case, so you know, designate the last couple of bites, the last end piece for.
So what do we see from Shmuel? We see from Shmuel. You could just leave over for the end. So what's the Gemara's question? Why is Shmuel telling me you're stuck? Avuah de Shmuel, Shmuel told me, even if you roll that a dough, right, you can't eat it. Right? You can't take off chal. Right?
Yes,
let's use the Eretz Yisrael.
Shmuel probably agree with that. He's the indication outside Eretz Yisrael.
So they weren't understanding. They weren't understanding that they could both even be in Chutzlar.
Right.
Now they're both in Chutzlar.
So what about an Eretz Yisrael?
It's a good question.
So many about Chutzlar.
It could be you'll have a problem. It seems like you'll have a problem. You'll be stuck. If you didn't take over an Eretz Yisrael, you're stuck. Get for your next door neighbor, Peter. Get for your next door neighbor. Far off for your next door neighbor. אנחנו גם גומרים. We're going to finish at 12. He's leaving at 12.
Okay.
Okay.
12. עוד שתי דקות. Fine. So he said that he's leaving now. So fine. So he's saying, so let's see Rashi. Chalos. Chalos. Turtil. Chalos. Let's see Rashi over here. Chalos. Shemirimin min ha'isa. Chalos. You separate from the dough. Right? Shemichos la'aretz. Mechos la'aretz. Hayol. Ve'eino. Min ha'tara. Since it's not for the Torah. Because the Kavim of Kedusha, like we learned the Kedusha. Call mitzvah to you the Torah. Every mitzvah is dependent on fruit. Hagdein la'aretz. Eino na'aretz el ba'aretz. It's only custom to keep that in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Chal and Chutz La'aretz is not on a Daraisa level. Is that there, Rashi? Again. Chal is Chutz La'aretz. Chal a turtil. I don't know why I said turtil, but you separate it. Chal is Shemarimin Min Ha'isa. Chal that you marim, like you lift off, and you separate from the dome. Shubu Chutz La'aretz. Chal, since the Inam Min Ha'tar, it's not from the Tar, but the Kaimel of a Kedusha, like it was taught to us in Kedusha, that Kol, because we know the rule is that Kol Mitzvah Ha'tluy of a Peros. Every mitzvah that's dependent on the peiros hagdelim ba'aretz that grow in the Eretz Yisrael, in a noig el ba'aretz, we're only accustomed to keeping it in Eretz Yisrael. So shur chala in a chutz la'aretz is on a drabban, right? So what did he tell me? He told me oichal v'haylo. Shmuel himself said, just eat it until you finish the loaf and leave over at the end. Oichal v'haylo kol hapas. Go and eat the entire bread. Umeshayir and leave over kudei chala. Be over, right, the amount of challah. Umafrisha b'achrin and separate it in the end. Meaning basically it will be separated on its own in the end. I'm always seeing. Hafrashasa shiloh l'tarefi. That I have to do this. I want to see this Rashi again. We'll see this Rashi tomorrow. Let's have fun. Yeah, it's hard. I learned it before. I learned it like a week ago. I forgot how to read it again. Fash Kessler. But tomorrow we're going to read better. So we're going to go through these Rashi and shit. Okay? At least we got to the hard one. Tomorrow's Yom Sheni.